Great to have you with us on the Big Sports Breakfast. We're after 7 o'clock and we thought you might need a little bit of a lift on your Thursday this morning. And so we've just got the adrenaline shot that you need. Good morning, Steve Blocker Roach.
Ryan, great to see you, mate. You're a wonderful young man. Hey, what about Laurie Daly's tips that we did during the week?
Well, you've smashed him. Well, everyone's giving you a lot of love on the text line.
Well, they've rung me and they've said Laurie is out. There's now Blocky Boy's tips. No, Doggy, good to see you,
Stephen,
mate.
Stephen Blocker Roach, always a pleasure.
Mate, this is...
We go back a long way now.
Well, we do. We've been working together for a long, long time. It's a little bit of the shock of the system to me today because I look across and I sit in this usual position every Thursday and I look across... And I see the wonderful-looking young man, Clarkie.
M. Clark.
Mate, well-groomed.
What do you see today?
Well-groomed at all times.
Now what do you see?
I can't say it on radio, but it's good to see you, mate. And Jamie, one of me, isn't she a lovely girl?
She's the
beautiful.
Best.
Wonderful. So looking forward to today's show. I've got a couple of things up my sleeve. I don't know, Ryan, if you listen to the show when I'm on every Thursday.
I do.
I try to come up with a different topic, and I think I've got a good one today. So... Keep your powder dry.
When do you reveal this?
When I'm ready.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Right, so it could come at any time.
It could come at any time.
There's been no rehearsal or preparation for this. You just want to whack us across the head with it at some point.
Well, Jamie was just saying to me, what do you got for us today? And I said, I'm keeping my powder dry. It's a secret.
All right. Well, we do have to start off by the same blocker, though. You were so many people's hero on Monday. A $13 multi.
Well,
are you going to be a one-hit wonder or are you going to return and give us one for tomorrow?
I'm generally only a one-hit wonder. They don't go out with me the second time, I can tell you. Anyway, I've got something for you today too. So I have got a tip.
But
or a couple of tips.
We're keeping it for tomorrow though. But you're going to be giving us the multi tomorrow.
No, I'm not coming in tomorrow.
No, but you tell us the
I've
multi.
I've been barred on Friday.
And we'll reveal it tomorrow. Because $13 last week. That's a big act to follow.
Can I say something about you guys getting up? Not you guys every week, but I got up last week and did the whole show. I was buggered for 3 days.
What time did you get up?
I got up at 4 o'clock, I think. I had to be here at 5:30.
How is Big Blocky at 4 a.m.?
Well, what's your regular morning routine, Block?
Oh, I probably get up about 9:30, 10 o'clock. No, I'm G-ing up. No, I'm generally up and around.
Well, the big fella in the morning.
By failing prepare, you're preparing to fail.
True.
Alan Jones.
Is someone as hypo as you a coffee drinker?
I do. I do drink coffee. Yeah, I just
How many
had
have
one,
you had
mate.
This morning
Only
already?
One. Only one coffee. You're talking about coffee, aren't you?
Yeah.
only one. Only the one.
Let's talk about Origin, Block.
Yeah.
You would have been happy with the result, obviously, with that New South Wales 44-12 in game two. I mean, when you think of that scoreline, yes, you know, we can... You know, say the sin binning or whatever, but that was a complete and dominant performance from New South Wales.
I'd like to make a couple of points about it straight away off the top. You got to applaud the coach, Brad Fittler. Everyone was saying, and after the first game, how low they were and all that sort of stuff, how they didn't play bad. They only lost by one try. The hard part about coaching is watching the game and then figuring out how do we fix this and what do we got to do to fix it. Now, they got terribly beaten in the middle, in the play the ball and line speed and, you know, a whole myriad of things in the middle of the field. Now, great coach of mine said to me, Warren Ryan, one day, you win the ruck. Since 1908, the game's been going. You win the ruck, you win the game. Now, Queensland dominated in that first game. So Brad Fittler brings in Jakey Tabojevic. Now, he cut blokes in half. And I don't know whether you noticed the work from Appy Coruscant too around the ruck in his defence, chasing from marker, cutting blokes down low. And they had, I don't think any of their forwards run for over 100 metres. Mm. So he fixed that problem straight away. The other point I'd like to make too about Cleary, and I said it to you when we did the thing the other day, is you never knock a champion. You got to learn in this game that, you know, if a bloke's a champion, you never knock him right. So I look and I'll explain it to you this way. New South Wales in the first half, it's 14-12 at halftime, the sin binning and all that sort of stuff. Now, New South Wales, I thought Queensland had the better of us in the first half. If you really watch the game and have a look at the line breaks and how they were playing, Munster got injured, they got the sin bin, and we were trying to go around them, and they were rushing us with their defence, and we were getting frustrated, and a few balls were going loose and all that. Now, this is when I talk about great players midstream. Have got a plan B. Now, Nathan Cleary came out in the second half was a completely different New South Wales side because he changed the way they played. They played more direct. And if you have a look at the tries they scored in the second half, Well, Cleary got one right through the middle, member of the show and go, straight through, scored under the post. So what he did was straighten the attack up. So great players midstream. I don't know whether Freddie said it to him at halftime or he came up with it himself. All of a sudden said, right, boys, here's plan B. We're not getting anywhere doing what we're doing at the moment. This is how we're going to play. Have a look at Luai's try, straight through the middle, little bit of footwork, little bit of fatigue in the Queensland team. And then, you know, the penalties came and possession and New South Wales just smashed them right through the middle where they were dominated in the first game. But if they've got 1 ounce, they've got 1 ounce of thinking this is all over, we'll get beat up in Queensland. They've got to go up there with that mindset. I think we've won 2 games out of 20 in deciders up there. If they go up with that mindset thinking that, oh, you know, we flogged them in the second game 44-12, if that's in the back of their mind, they'll get beat.
Block, it's interesting you say that because that was probably some of the criticism in game one, was that Queensland held down, won the ruck, but we didn't adapt on the run.
Yeah.
Where what you say is spot on, we did adapt on the run in Perth.
Yeah. Well,
and that was the difference.
Well, that comes down to the players and the trust. As I said, I don't know whether Freddie said it to him at halftime, but they just straightened. They started playing inside shoulders and they started playing through the middle and the momentum that they got. But you have a look at the superstars in our game now in New South Wales. Like, look, I love Cam Murray and Martin and all those sort of guys, but they're not tackle-busting back rowers. I'll give you some examples. Tallis, Noel Cleal, Paul Sirenan. They were tackle busters, but these guys are work rate players and they kick chase and they clean everything up. Whereas we look to Tedesco and Luai and Burton, what a debut it was for them. But you know what I'm trying to say? This is how the game's evolved and really changed. The back five in games now is the most important players on the field, bringing that ball back. New South Wales was sensational in that area, in that second game.
Isn't it great too, Block? There's still a place for a Jake Trbojevic in our game.
Loved it.
A bloke who just sticks under his wing. He goes hard. He's not fancy pants. He doesn't chase the limelight. He just gets his job done.
Yeah, you know what? I watch him every time, and every time I do a Manly game, I see someone crunched in half or folded, as we called it. Someone gets folded. How good is it? And I don't even look to see who it is if Manly's playing. I know it's him. And I see the blonde hair, and I think, ah, that's Jakey.
Got just another one.
But you have a look at him too. Look at all the big front rowers, mate. Big men, huge. You know, big Lazo and Beaton and all those sort of guys. You know, he's not a big man, mate. Have you seen up next to him? He's not a big man.
Even with his shirt off, Jake, he's not like he's got a rig. He's,
no,
you know, he's,
mate, I'll tell you what he is, mate.
But it's true, Jamie. He's not cut, is he? He's just a knockabout, all of us.
I'll tell you what he is. He's tough.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what he is. He reminds me, probably not as good, but he reminds me a bit of a throwback to Terry Randall. I always love to see players and watch players and think about who they remind me of, who plays like who looks like who plays that sort of role. And for Manly, Jakey and the great Terry Randall remind me of each other.
So, Blocker, if you were Freddie, would you stick with the same side going into the decider, or would you bring back Jack Whiten? Or the big debate is whether or not Latrell Mitchell should return to the side if he performs well this weekend returning from injury.
Jamie, you're talking about me personally?
Yeah, what would you do?
I love Latrell Mitchell as a player. I can't bring him back into my team for a decider. He hasn't played. Mate, he hasn't played for 12 weeks or whatever it is. You can't what people don't realise, you can't automatically just turn it on like that. And this is a decider. I would bring, personally, I'd leave Talakai out. I'm sorry, mate, thanks for the job that you did in game two. I love you. But, mate, I'm going to bring Jack Whiten in. Jack Whiten, he's the fuel that New South Wales need up there in a decider in Queensland. You could play that bloke in the front row. He can play anywhere. So I'd put him at 14 and I'd leave the side as the same. I'd bring Jack Whiten in. Poor old Talakai, I'd say to him, mate, I'm sorry, mate, you can come up with us and have a look, but I don't think I can put you in the side because Jack Whiten brings that energy that you need, come at a sider, and he can play anywhere. Centres, you can play him. You can play that bloke in the front row, I'm telling you.
So your starting 13 stays the same?
My starting 13 stays the same, and then I've got Jack Whiten on the bench just to cover all these positions.
So we had a big margin in game two. What are you tipping up in Queensland?
I'm tipping it won't. I reckon we might see plenty of points from both sides. Both sides have got great attacking ability, but I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout score. There will be no sin binning up there. Mate, if the referee, say Klein takes the referee again, I'm telling you, he won't leave Queensland if he sins bin one of the Queenslanders.
I thought it was right block. I looked at it again and again, and the more I look at it, the more I say, he got it right.
I'll tell you what got him. I'll tell you what got Kaufusi. So they get three.
The fact that he was Kaufusi?
No. The three six agains. And there's my other bugbear too. I would like the league to bring out, like I'm sitting there, because there's, and I think I know a little bit about the game. I'm watching there and all the six agains, and I'm going, I'm a fan at home watching. I'm going, mate, what's that for? There's 20 different infringements you can have in a ruck. Tell me, I'm sitting at home as a fan, I'm going, mate, what's that for?
I think they only say two, don't they? Ruck infringement or offside.
Well, what's that? It doesn't
tell
me anything.
As you say, there's a million different rules within those two headlines.
So anyway, they get three in a row. Kaufusi makes the tackle and holds on. I counted six. I watched the replay. I counted 6 seconds. But the thing that got him was he sort of half pie stood up and then went back down again for another grab. I don't think he had any options. I think that he should have sent him to the sin bin. And then fatigue and possession for New South Wales in the second half, that was it for Queensland. They were gone.
I said it on the show yesterday. How hard, in your opinion, will it be for a rookie coach to try to lift that Queensland side, who would be emotionally distraught after conceding 30 straight points in the second half?
I think he's a master motivator.
Billy?
Yeah, I do.
Can he get him up?
And I think Cameron Smith has a big deal to do with it too. From all reports,
they were embarrassed, Blocker.
They were, yeah.
But it was 30-0.
But that's a good thing for Queensland. So what happens was, when you talk to people and all the people around the game and what Billy was like, they reckon he was the orchestrator for Queensland and also for Australia. Like he'd be organising the game plan, you know, where blokes have got to go and all that sort of stuff. So I don't think that scoreline, 44-12. Gives Queensland more motivation in the decider because they were embarrassed, as you said. So, mate, there's a difference. I was saying to Ryan the other day, there's a difference between wanting to win and having to win. Mm. New South Wales had to win that second game. Mm. So it's all up for the decider. I can't wait for it.
We'll take a break. More NRL chat next. Blocker is with us this morning. Give us a call as well, 1353 53, the SMS 0419 767 272. After 7:30, we'll go through each and every game of the NRL and get everyone's thoughts and tips for the weekend. But let's just talk some news, Blocker. The news this week that Matt Lodge has found a new home at the Sydney Roosters, or is most likely to put pen to paper and sign a deal to the end of the season. Your thoughts on that signing and his future?
It's good to see him pick up another club, albeit the Roosters. Come on, man. How many players they want? Come on. Hey, one comes on the market, they grab him. But anyway, good luck to him.
Is it a reflection of their depth in the forwards, though?
Yeah, well, obviously they've struggled a little bit this year, haven't they? The Roosters, they haven't been the normal Rooster side. And, you know, I think Jared Weir-Hargreaves is a champion. I love the way that he plays the game, and I think he could teach Lodge a lot. I think Lodge is a very good player. I saw him play in the juniors, and then I've seen him play in the first grade, very aggressive player. That's a good pickup for the Roosters. What do they get him for, under gorillas or something?
100.
Under gorillas? Mm. That's not bad. How many games are left? 8 or 9 or something like that?
Where do you see the Chooks at the moment? Block from where they would expect to be to where they are. Obviously, there's a chasm there. I mean, can we write them off as potential premiers?
I don't think they can win the comp.
Okay.
No, I don't, mate. Penrith and the Melbourne Storm are too good, aren't they?
Is there a swooper that can come late if there is one out there and really cause some dramas?
Oh,
or are we saying right now it's a two-team premiership?
Mate, if Parramatta can beat the sides that they're expected to beat, mate, they've beat Melbourne and Penrith this year. So Parramatta on their day, but you've got to get them on their day when they're hot. Mate, I reckon they could do something if they had a little bit of luck come semi-final, grand final time. Yeah, I think Penrith, Parramatta would probably be my tip.
Blocker, what did you make of Brett Camorley's now the front runner to take over the head coaching role at the West Tigers?
It's a basket case, that joint. Mm. I mean, what do you? I don't really understand. The thing I don't understand is they've come out and said now that Brett Camorley is the front runner. Mm. He's been beaten by 40 the first two games that he's coached. So, mate, no, honestly, I'm being honest. Nothing's changed. They've got, mate, if you look at it and look at it properly, they've gone backwards since Maguire's gone. So, anyway, good luck to him. I hope he gets a job. He's a good fella.
Mm.
But I don't know whether he's the right bloke. For mine, for me, the right bloke, and I know he's probably not even getting a look in, but no one listens to me at the Tigers anyway, and probably rightly so. I would go straight for Flano. Now, Flano has done his time when he got into trouble a couple of years ago and all that. But you've got to look at the facts. He rebuilt the Sharks. Mate, the Sharks were going nowhere.
Into a premiership-winning side.
They won the premiership. Now, if I'm looking at rebuilding, even let him come in with his plan. He's obviously got a plan. He's a good bloke, Flano. And he used to play for Western Suburbs. He'd have a plan, even if they just listened to, this is how I rebuilt the Sharks.
Mm.
How about giving me a start and let me do it? But, mate, if Brett Camorley gets a job, good on you. That's well done. But I don't know. I don't know whether we've... Generally, when a new coach comes in, they lift for a few weeks, don't they?
Mm.
Well, it hasn't happened for the Tigers.
Yeah, no, they've got a tough job. We'll talk about it later when they go to New Zealand with their first game back home after COVID, the New Zealand Warriors. We were talking earlier about that Bears chairman Daniel Dixon and Billy Moore were over at State of Origin 2 in Perth.
It's a junket.
Potentially pitching up for the Perth Bears. And we were talking before about identity block. Obviously, you're a champion Balmain Tiger, and we've got now a merged entity, West Tigers. And we were just talking about identity. What do you think about a Perth Bears franchise? Are they, you know, will North Sydney fans follow the Bears if they are in Perth, and then how will Perth jump on board?
I think they will if they play half a dozen games at North Sydney Oval. Of course they will. I actually like it. I said it the other day that I was a little bit worried about the Perth team coming in when they're going to be the Pirates, aren't we, Hardy? I mean, mate, some of these genius marketing people, they sit down and they want a logo for their football team, the Perth Pirates. What's that got to do with Perth?
Nothing.
Alliteration.
Hello? No, honestly. I like when they were the big red kangaroo on that.
It's the same when they pitched up the Brisbane Bombers. Remember they were talking about a second, but the Brisbane Bombers are terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
What's that splitting games block? When you think about it, you're right with North Sydney Oval. They've got to play some games there, but you can't also turn your back on Perth because if you don't go in there whole as bowlers, I don't think you're going to garnish support if you're just going to wander in and then disappear for 4 weeks and then wander out. And I think you've got to have to go there with an attitude of we want to embrace the city, involve ourselves in the city.
Sometimes you can get lulled into a false sense. State of Origin's played over there, there's 60,000 there. That doesn't equate to the Bears going over there and, you know, and having a big following. Mate, it's all about winning. If you don't win, mate, no one comes. It's that simple. They talk about marketing and the dollars in the game and buy and play, mate. If you don't win, they don't come. So I think what they've got to do is if they do come in, and I've been saying this for a long, long time, and you know we've got to bring in a draft if we're going to bring another team in the competition or another two teams in the competition, because if you're down the bottom and they bring in a new team like they did with the Queensland team, the Dolphins.
Dolphins, yeah.
So say I'm the Tigers and we're running 12th, just say. Okay, so we're running 12th. How long does it take you to get back? Because you can't go and buy players on the market because Queensland, the Dolphins, have taken 30 players out of the market. So how do you ever lift up out of it? And everyone goes, oh, let's do pathways. Well, I can tell you, pathways. You might get two or three players every 5 years, 6 years.
Mm.
Out of your system because everyone goes, oh, mate, look at this guy. He's the next big thing. How good's he going to be? Boom, boom. Mm. They don't make it a first
100%.
That's what happens. So if you bring in the draft, the bottom teams get the opportunity to buy the best players on the market and then you can build a competition. I know everyone will say, oh, mate, someone's got to come last or second last. Yeah, sure. But you've got to give those teams an opportunity to make themselves better. Otherwise, mate, the Tigers now in the doldrums at the moment, right? We've been in the doldrums for 10 years. We could be in there for another 10 years if you don't get the opportunity to buy the players.
The broadcasters want the extra game block, and I get that.
That's good, I get it.
But if that extra game is rubbish because there's not enough players. Is that good for the game? Because you get an 18th team in, throw in the Dolphins, that's another 60 players sucked out of the pool block.
Yeah.
Do we have the players to do that and to make them successful?
Live in hope. We live in hope. That's why we follow our team. One day, there's always next year. The start of the year, everyone's going to win the comp. That's what happens.
Yeah, you're right.
We live in hope.
We've got to take a break. News is next, and on the other side, we're going to go through the games. Round 16 of the NRL Beanies for Brain Cancer Round. Steve Blocker-Roach in with Jamie Rogers, Dean Ritchie, Ryan Phelan here this morning. Oh, it's just got tougher this morning as well. The Garlow's pies have arrived. The smell of the fresh baked pastry. Light on pastry, big on meat.
Thin on pastry,
big on meat.
It's like when a football player smells the liniment, isn't it, Block? When I smell the pie, I want one. I want to ask you, big fella.
Yes.
What's the socially acceptable time to scoff down a pie in the morning?
Right.
What time?
I'm glad you asked me this.
Right. He's up.
He's standing
feet,
up, just
fella.
So you know.
As soon as you smell it, of course. Smell-o-vision.
7 a.m., 7:30, no dramas?
No, if the pies are on and they're in the
oven,
the warm-up oven, and you walk past and you go, my God. I'll tell you what's worse, but which really, I can't believe that people have pies without sauce. It's like having steak.
Un-Australian.
Where do you put the sauce? Because that's the other thing. Do you peel the top off and put it inside and peel the
some
lid back down?
I think that's weird.
Yeah.
You know what I do, and I get in trouble at home for it if we have pies. I stick, you know, the nozzle of the sauce, the tomato sauce. I stick the nozzle in and squeeze it until I see it overflowing into the pastry on top.
Everything's aggressive with you, isn't it? Even when you stick it in, you pull the face.
When you squeeze it, you squeeze it hard, son. Right? But the other thing too, I want to talk. I'm glad you brought up a topic. I want to bring up a topic that really sort of. I want to understand, and a lot of listeners would go to a lot of restaurants, tipping. Now, I'm not against tipping. It's becoming big in Australia now. But what I want to do is I see people, and I want to know why they do this. Say I'm given a $10 or a $20 tip. And everyone does it.
You're still using cash?
Please. Only Durling cash. Cash is king. So what they do, right, what they do, and how many times you ever seen people do this, and tell me if I'm right. They fold up like a $20 or a $10, and when they shake hands with the waiter who's been looking after you, they slip the cash into his hand. Do you ever see people doing that?
That's a very American thing. You see that?
It's really
movies,
weird,
yeah.
And I've seen it really take over in Australia now.
I guess they don't have to share their tips if other staff are slacking off. You get your full $20.
Well, there's the other thing. I hope they're not listening, because I won't name names, but I knew this coffee shop. That everyone would tip into this jar, right? Now, normally the tips, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, I've never been involved with getting tips, but normally I would imagine that the people who are working, the staff and the waiters and all that, at the end of the day, they'd tip all the money out and then divvy it up amongst them. These guys
catch and kill.
Who own the cafe keep the tips. You miserable buggers.
Would it be insulting to do the old slip into the hand with a coin?
Yes.
Okay.
Or if you're a magician, how good's that? If you're a magician, you know how to make coins disappear. Just G them up, go with the coin, and then.
And the polymer notes, they don't fold really either. They'd spring out of the hand as well. It's not like those folding American notes as well.
And you know how expensive things are now. And going to restaurants, is it un-Australian now not to tip?
I don't tip.
You don't tip.
No.
But if you're having a seated lunch, like not if you're just popping in for toast and a coffee, but like a nice lunch or dinner.
Well, you don't tip.
No.
Miserable.
Tight ass.
Speaking of the tip jar, I went out for a drink with a mate of mine from Queensland. This probably shows that Queensland is in a different light. But anyway, ordered two schooners, one for me, one for him. He had his partner there with him, and she wanted a vodka and lemonade. And anyway, he obviously...
Sure, she didn't want a fluffy duck up there in Queensland.
Well, he obviously doesn't order anything beer too much. He came back with the two schooners and the tip jar, the red tip jar he thought was her drink
her
and
drink.
Put it on the
what
table.
What a legend.
And I thought only in Queensland, what only Queenslanders would do something
Mate,
like
I,
that.
Talking about beer and all that, one of the greatest things ever to happen to me was I played against one of my heroes in Dallas Donnelly. And, mate, what a legend. A lot of people would remember him like round about my age, but mate, he was a legend, right? So I get to play against Dallas, and we go back. We used to go back to Des Moines Rowing Club, and I was that excited. Played against him at Leichhardt, and everyone used to go back down there, and we're down at Des Moines Rowing Club, and I said, mate, you want a beer, you know? He said, yeah, you get us one, son, you know? Just like an old legend, you know? I run over and get him a beer. I bought two middies. I had to drink middies in those days. Uh-oh. And I went over there, and I handed the middie to him, and it just dropped straight through and fell on the floor, and he goes, they don't fit in my hand, son. Oh, better go back and get this, you know?
Oh, very good. Well, we've got a special guest, I think we can say, because we were expecting him yesterday, and he was a late scratching for a team meeting, and he's dialed in. He's joining us this morning. Good morning, Damien Cook. How are you, Cookie?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for fitting me in today.
No, great for you to join us. Origin, how did you pull up, and what a terrific performance from the Blues.
Yeah, it was, mate. It was a good performance. It was needed too, obviously, to keep the season alive. And the body's not too bad, mate. It's obviously a lot better after a win. You always feel a bit better, so mate, all good. And getting ready for the Eels this weekend.
Hey, Cookie, tell us about the celebrations, if there were any, after that game. After New South Wales were beaten in the first one, they win quite comfortably in the second one. If there's any little bit of complacency in the side, I reckon Freddie Fittler will nip that in the bud straight away.
Yeah, I think you could probably tell on the field. We knew he'd won, had a good win, so I was obviously going to enjoy that moment, but it was pretty low-key celebration. If anything, we knew that we know what's got to be done to win this series, and it's the hardest thing to do in Origin. That's to go up to Suncorp and play in a decider against them up there. So, and obviously, they got us in game one, so both teams are well aware that they can get the job done over each team, and we know we're going to, you know, get back into camp and work hard and try and, you know, put that same game plan in place and even do things a little bit better as well, because up there it's going to be a whole different ball game.
Hey, could you give us a little bit of insight? I was talking a little bit earlier about how Nathan Cleary, just changed the momentum and changed the way he played after the first half. You played a lot more direct, and you're giving him the ball from dummy half. Did that come from him, or did it come from Brad Fittler at half time?
Oh, I think the boys did a good job in the first 30 minutes. There was, you know, a lot of back and forth. There was a pretty physical start to the game, and I think it was just everyone got a good touch. Everyone was in the game by then. Then come out the second half, it's just a, you know, obviously 40 minutes to go. We need to win this game, or else we're getting, or the series is over. So we all had to lift our standards a little bit more. But Nath definitely took the game with both hands, and he controls the team really well. He's almost calling, you know, most of the plays out there, especially when we get down good ball as well. He's running the show. Plus, he's doing a lot of the kicking. Berto and Rome's took a bit of the pressure off him as well with the kicking on the weekend, which you saw, which was real effective. But yeah, a lot of it goes down to Nathan. You know, that's why he played so well, and we managed to get him on the front foot this time, and actually be able to play some good footy off the back of that, unlike what we did in game one.
Cookie, a double question for me. So looking ahead at this weekend, Latrell Mitchell is obviously returning for you guys, which is a huge boost to the side. In your opinion, if he comes out and blows everyone off the park and has a fantastic game, we know he's a superstar, would you then slot him into the Origin side heading into game three?
Oh, no doubt he could play if he was needed in the Origin side. But, you know, I think Leicester's probably got a hard decision there with, you know, I think Jack White had a great first game. He was a big reason why we'll half a chance there. He was one of the only ones showing that Origin hunger, and he was our best player that night. So Latrell, I'm just hoping he gets through 80 minutes and plays really good for us, which I reckon he definitely will. But if he's not in the Origin side itself, even if he's in the squad, he's going to add great value to the team and make sure they're very prepared to go into that decider.
Cookie, if I can move away from Origin temporarily. We were just talking about tipping.
Yes.
And Blocker was talking about tipping. Do you tip, Cookie, or are you a tight ass like me who refuses to tip?
One on Blocker with earlier the pies. I do stick the nozzle in the pies.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then tipping, it's not like over in the US where they're minimum wage. They get paid quite well over here.
Absolutely, Cookie.
Unless,
you're with me.
Unless you get a really good experience and a nice rest, we might, you might tip there. But
and even then, a thank you is enough in my eyes.
Cookie, what's the feeling just before we let you go, just on this weekend? Obviously, it's a tight betting market. Parramatta are the favourites, $1.60. Souths, $2.35. As Jamie mentioned, Latrell back. Well, we write about it in the media and talk about it, that he's such a big in that he's a difference to your side. How much of a difference that you can get the job done over Parramatta?
Oh, yeah, he's a massive in, mate. It's like, yeah, you could probably name a few sides. You know, you've got Tedesco at the Roosters. You know, he's won Nathan Cleary at Panthers, even though they seem to go pretty well without him. But, yeah, he's one of those players that you bring back to that side and we'll get a lot of confidence out of it. His kick returns. He's always going to get our sets off to a good start and on the front foot, and just his presence in the defensive line, especially on our goal line where we've struggled a little bit just with a bit of resilience. And, you know, when we get a penalty against us, we're not defending the next set. And last year we were quite good at that, so we need to get that back. But having him in, you know, that defensive line just thickens it up a little bit and, you know, just allows us to defend shape a lot better. So I'm sure he's going to make a big difference for us. And plus he's jumping out of his skin at training. He hasn't shut up all week. He's talking a lot. He's ready to go, mate. So I'm really excited to see him play.
Yeah, well, it is one of the headline games this weekend, which we'll talk about next, Parramatta versus South. And good luck with your bunnies this weekend, Cookie. And if we, well, I'm sure we will speak to you again before Origin 3, but have a great game in the lead up to Origin 3. I'm sure you're very excited.
Wonder if he's going to tip with that new 3-year contract.
who am I tipping?
Yeah. No, with the new 3-year contract, when's that going to be signed?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really want it to drag on a whole lot of time. But I'm actually spoke to the coach a few weeks ago, and spoke to my manager a few weeks ago as well. And so the club both know where I'm at. My manager knows where I'm at, so I'm pretty comfortable with the relationship I got with both sides that they can get sorted out and leave me out of it until need be at the end, yeah.
Now, but speaking of tipping, Cookie does come onto this show every single week and often does have an actual tip.
Oh, does he?
Do you have one for us today? Have you had a chance to look at the form?
I have. I've actually got one for Saturday. Flemington, race 7, number 6.
Hang on. Well, question without notice here. Let me get the market up. So race 7, number 6. For Cookie. You know what, Cookie, we'll let you go and I will give people the odds for that on the other side of the break when we give out our NRL tips for this weekend. But good luck against the Parramatta Eels this weekend.
Cheers, guys. Thanks, Abby.
We'll take a break. The NRL tips next, as well as Cookie's tips. I'll tell you what it is for Flemington on Saturday. Okay, now I located Cookie's tip. It's race 7, number 6 at Flemington on Saturday, Zach DeBoss. And Zach DeBoss at the moment is $6. Matthew Cartwright rides for Simon Zara. So that is Cookie's tip. So we'll see how that goes. Gee, Block, they've got a lot to live up to, though, he and Laurie Daly with your sort of form at the moment. Well, everyone's giving you a lot of love on the text
line.
Yeah,
but I'm one from one.
That's exactly. It's hard to beat 100%.
Well, it is if you keep trying to tip.
Yeah. Have we decided, are you doing it tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't even think I'm on tomorrow.
Because you've got tips. I saw written on your sheet there. You've got some tips.
Dare you look over my shoulder like that?
You pass that on to our bookmakers at
okay,
TAB.
Okay, I will.
And
I will.
They'll come up with a nice juicy price for your multi, which we'll announce tomorrow on the show. So, yep, all of those people are asking. Blocker will be going again and hopefully keeping that 100% record intact.
Let's hope so.
Okay, let's go through the tips. We're starting with a cracking game tonight. Fierce rivals, the Manly Seagulls versus the Melbourne Storm at Four Pines Park. Big out here, obviously, with Cameron Munster out. Ryan Pappenhausen will definitely play. What's your thoughts here, Blocker?
I love this game. I love the bitter rivalry. I love all that sort of stuff in our NRL when two sides go at it. This is a feud that's been going on for a long time. Look, Manly at home, they're very hard to beat, aren't they, when they play at home, and they've played some great footy. Daly Cherry Evans looks like he's going to back up. Big Jake, he'll back up. They'll be in the game, but I just the personnel that the Storm have got, they roll over the scoreboard. I reckon we're going to see a few points in this game. Mm. Thursday night footy, should be a great game of footy, but I'm going to go with the Storm.
Bulldog?
I'm Storm too. I'm like Blocker. I think Manly will go with them. They've only lost one game at Brookvale this year, Block, and of course that was the Cowboys game. They conceded 3 tries in the last 7 or 8
yeah,
minutes.
They'll celebrate in 10 minutes to go.
Correct. Yeah. So I think they will go with them. I think Manly is an underrated side. I think they're better than what a lot of people think. And I know Dez privately thinks if they can get to the 8, they can cause a bit of damage. Mm. Maybe the other side that you would want.
The 10th, this is a must-win for them.
Over your shoulder at, absolutely. Yeah, but look, I'm with you, Block. I think the Storm in the end will get them late.
JR?
Yeah, I'm with both of you boys, Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, Melbourne Storm. So we've all gone Melbourne Storm, and they are the favourites. $1.44 over Manly, $2.80. Then on Friday night, a reminder, it's Beanies for Brain Cancer Round. So this is always an emotional one at McDonald Jones Stadium, where the Knights take on the Gold Coast Titans, with the Mark Hughes Foundation raising some great funds for brain cancer. So make sure you can support with a beanie this round. Get onto the Mark Hughes website. And you can also find a beanie at your local IGA. So all the Origin players return. Daniel Saifidi, Bradman Best from that squad. What's your thoughts here, Block?
They've got to win, haven't they? The Newcastle Knights in 12th spot at the moment. The Titans, most disappointing team in the competition. Don't know what's happened to them after last year's form. There's some talk Fifita might be back. Is that right?
He's back.
Yep.
He's back and he's playing. Well, he owes his team. He owes his teammates on that big $1 million. Good luck to him. I'm glad he's getting paid big, but he needs to do something for that wage. So I'm expecting a big game from him. Destructive ball runner. Once he runs the footy and he decides to tuck it under his arm close to the line, virtually impossible to stop, but it too gets you the ball. I don't know, toss of the coin this one. The only reason I'm going to go for the Knights is they're playing at home.
Yeah, I'll go the Titans here. I can't back the Knights. Both have been bitterly disappointing this year. Don't forget, no Kalen Ponga for the Knights. That's a huge out. So I think the Titans will get them up there in Newcastle.
You say it's a flip of the coin, Blocker. Knights are 1-6 at home this season, while the Titans are 1-8 away. So not great stats for either of these teams, but I'm going to go Titans.
I think they're both unreliable, but just by the virtue that they're at home, I'll go the Knights over the Titans. The Knights are favourites, $1.80 over $2, the Gold Coast. What a blockbuster it is on Friday evening with the Penrith Panthers at Blue Bet Stadium taking on the Roosters. The big change here is that Joey Manu will switch to the halves. Block, can you see the Roosters causing an upset, or are the hot favourites going to win this one?
Well, you talk about teams that are good at home. They very rarely lose, don't they, the Panthers? And talking about a bet tomorrow, I'm going to go, because Penrith, I don't know, this is about pathways and everything we were talking a little bit earlier about. You know, the weekend of the rep round, they had 21 players involved over the weekend, the Panthers. That's
extraordinary.
That's extraordinary, yeah. And it's unbelievable for them to do that. I think the Panthers... The Panthers will win. We talk about sides that, you know, that can tick over the scoreboard. They're very good at it. But the Roosters have been mostly disappointing this season, I'd have to say, with a lot of players that they've got in their side. I don't think that they've really worked that well with their halves and really creating opportunities for the Roosters to score plenty of points. So the Panthers for mine. But you asked me about a bet tomorrow. If I was going to put my hard-earned on, I'm going to go that the Roosters can win 1-12.
Wow. To win 1-12?
Yeah.
This would be the time that they could do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
Because
the Panthers players would be tired.
21 of them. They can't even get the Reggies in.
Okay. What are you tipping here, Bill?
Oh, look, I can't go against Penrith as much as, you know, I'd like to see the Roosters kickstart. I think we've been waiting all year for them to kickstart Block. They just haven't quite got there. They've sort of spluttered this year, haven't they, to some degree? They've won 7 from 15. They're outside the top 8. Yeah, I'd like to see a ball over to keep the competition lively, but I can't predict it in this game.
The Roosters are their longest price since 2011 at that $6 price, and Penrith haven't lost since round 9, but I'm going the Roosters to do the job.
Wow.
Ooh. Well, Panthers players are tired. So if the Roosters are going to get a win and bounce back and a much needed win, they are outside of the 8, this is the time to do it.
I reckon Penrith will cover the start, which is 15.5. So Penrith, $1.13. $6, the Sydney Roosters. This is going to be a terrific game. The Bulldogs taking on Cronulla at CommBank Stadium. The big out here is the coach, Mick Potter. He's got COVID, so he won't be in the coach's box.
Mick was getting on a roll too. They'd won their last couple. And they're playing good, expansive footy. It's amazing when teams all of a sudden get a new coach and they take the shackles off. And they're playing some good footy. I like watching the Bulldogs now.
And do you reckon it looks like they are enjoying their footy as well?
Enjoying what they're doing.
Yeah.
Surprise packet of the competition with Craig Fitzgibbon, fourth position. I'm just really waiting to sit back and watch Nicho Hynes. I think he's been the buy of the year. in the whole competition. Spending that time with the Origin boys and seeing how they prepare and coming up with different ideas. And I reckon we're going to see an explosive game from him this weekend. The Sharks for mine. They'll stop the little bit of a roll that the Dogs are on.
Yeah, back-to-back wins, you said, block four, the Bulldogs. A couple of big scores there too against Parramatta and the Tigers. Mm. But I think Cronulla's structures might just be a little too strong for the Bulldogs. But that resurgence block, it's good for rugby league. I'm glad the Dogs are having a few wins.
I'm actually going the Bulldogs. I think Matt Burton is just going to be riding high off that Origin success. So Bulldogs for me.
I agree, Jamie. I'm tipping an upset as well. So the betting there, head-to-head, Cronulla Sharks $1.38 and the Bulldogs are $3.10. Then it's the Queensland Derby. A lot of the State of Origin players are backing up here. Payne Haas, most notably, will be playing for Brisbane. Blocker, it's up there in Townsville. What do you think?
I love their style, the Cowboys. Todd Payton has done a magnificent job. When you look through their side, you're going, mate, how are they in the comp third position? So I think he's done a magnificent job. You can see a lot of Tim Sheens in Todd Payton. I'll give you a little thing. Tim Sheens used to be a genius at doing things off the back of scrums and all that sort of stuff, putting plays on and, you know, getting numbers and all that. You can see it rubbed off on Todd Payton. I can see a lot of Tim Sheens in Todd Payton. Third position, they're going great. I love the style. I love the way they played. Third round, I go back to when they played the Broncos at home, they smashed them, the Cowboys and everyone. I think that's when everyone started to be surprised about how they play. The Cowboys at home for mine.
Yeah, Cowboys for me. Todd Payton positioning himself, Blocker, to be the next elite coach in rugby league.
Mm. He is. And, mate, you can tell too. I mean, you know, he'd be the perfect bloke for the Tigers to get back, wouldn't he? But I think he's got another year to go at the Cowboys. I don't think he's the type of bloke that would break a contract. And I'd be very surprised the way he's gone this year that the Cowboys don't offer him a long-term deal to scare off all the other clubs, because I reckon there'd be, if he came on the open market, I reckon there'd be a lot of people chasing him.
Cowboys for me.
Adam Reynolds back. Broncos for me to cause an upset up there. Now, the Cowboys are $1.50 and Brisbane $2.60. Souths, Parramatta, what a game this promises to be. Latrell Mitchell back for the Bunnies.
I love seeing Parramatta play, but I don't like seeing them play against sides that are a bit below them. As I said a little bit earlier, they beat the big teams. I think Parramatta for mine. I know that Latrell's back, and I reckon he's the type of bloke that everyone loves playing with. You run out and you feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. He'll bring that energy back. But Parramatta in sixth place. This is 6th against 7th, too, this game. So I think Parramatta, if they're going to be a real threat, they need to beat South this weekend.
Depends what Parramatta side we see, Block. If it's the Parramatta side focused and ready, I think they'll beat South. But the story will be Latrell Mitchell, how he comes back and whether he does enough to put himself in the Origin.
So if he plays a great 80 minutes, man of the match, and blows everyone off the park, do you reckon they'll pick him, New South Wales?
I don't think they will, because I think it's more of a risk for Freddie to change a winning side than a losing side. Mm. That's my theory.
And also with a player that we haven't seen since April.
He might be in the squad. 22-man squad. That's another thing I'd like to blow up about next week.
Jamie, your tip?
I'm going with South. I think the return of Latrell Mitchell, as Josh Reynolds said this morning, he brings a different energy to the game and won't let his side down.
I agree. South for me as well. Head-to-head, Parramatta $1.60, $2.35. We'll pump through the Sunday games pretty quickly. Warriors $1.45 favourites over West Tigers.
And good to see Luke Brooks named in the side. There was talk about him being left out. I don't see every time something happens at the West Tigers, he gets the blame for it. He tries his heart out every week. So good to see him not getting dropped. The Warriors, the Tigers are going to upset the apple cart. They're going to beat the Warriors on their home ground. They haven't played there for 462,000 years. So they're back. Good on them. And I'm glad that they're home over there at the Warriors in New Zealand. But the Mighties, I'm tipping the Mighty Tigers.
I think the big crowd will lift the Warriors to victory. I'll go the Kiwi team.
Yeah, right. I'm with you, Bulldog. I think the home crowd.
You're lucky. Get
them over.
You're lucky. You're 6 foot away from me. You know what? I've got good reach.
Still got to get past you to get out of this studio.
Well,
though,
you have to take three of us. I'm the Warriors as well. And the final game on Sunday, the Canberra Raiders are favourites away to St George Illawarra. They're $1.67 over St George Illawarra, $2.20 block.
Yeah, I can't warm to the Dragons. They look a little bit slow to me. A lot of strike players in this Canberra Raiders side. Canberra, for me, away from home.
Raiders.
Raiders.
Yeah, I've gone Raiders with that one as well. So that's a look at the round 16 of the NRL, which is Beanies for Brain Cancer round, a great cause. And what a terrific round as well. Like, think of some of those
good
matchups.
Games, yeah.
And it all starts tonight with that spiteful encounter, as it always is, between Melbourne and also Manly. Block, it's always a pleasure, mate. You've given us the lift. Not that we needed it this morning, but you've just pumped us up even more.
It has been my financial pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you.
Steve Blocker-Roach joining us on the Big Sports Breakfast. The news is next.